The tzad hashave, the common denominator, is a hermeneutic device which is used to derive halachos that are unclear from other halachos which are more clear. In some ways, it's similar to a mamet sinai. How does a mamet sinai work? Let's say that we find by Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra is a lav, and it has a punishment, malchus. Therefore, it is logical to assume that every single place where there's a lav, there will also be the punishment of malchus. That's a mamet sinai. However, there can be confounding variables. Confounding variable by Moitzi Shemra is the fact that the Torah was machmir Moitzi Shemra. The Torah, in fact, was machmir in a way which is counterintuitive. It says that Moitzi Shemra is chayiv malchus even b'makim tashlumi mamim. So therefore, perhaps we can only learn out that in other places where the Torah was mechadish, that you can have two penalties for one ma'isa, that's when there's going to be malchus. But in a place where the Torah was not mechadish, that there can be two penalties for one ma'isa, so then there won't be malchus. That's a confounding variable. Maybe the lav alone, per se, is not the cause of the malchus, but rather it's the lav of this degree of chumrah, of this degree of stringency, which causes the malchus, and anywhere where we don't find this degree of chumrah, there won't be malchus. So then comes along Edim Zoymimin, which doesn't have this degree of chumrah, because we don't say that he's like Yom Shalim Edim Zoymimin, and yet we still see that there's malchus, so that neutralizes the confounding variable. It tells us that the chumrah, which is caused by Loike Umishalim, is not the Siba of malchus by Moitzi Shemra. Because if that were the Siba of the malchus by Moitzi Shemra, so then Edim Zoymimin wouldn't get malchus, because it lacks that characteristic. Edim Zoymimin gets malchus despite the lack of that characteristic. Clearly that characteristic is not the Siba of the malchus. Frat the Gemara, Im Kain, let's make a mamet sinoi from Edim Zoymimin. Edim Zoymimin, right, they have a lav, and they have malchus, so too everything else which has a lav should have malchus. Frat the Gemara, wait a second, Edim Zoymimin also has a confounding variable, namely, that they get malchus even without hasra. So maybe only in places where the Torah was mechadish, that there's no need for hasra, that's where you should get malchus. But if the Torah was not mechadish, that it's a lav of such chumrah, that it doesn't require asraf to be for an oynish, perhaps it will not get malchus. Zot the Gemara back that Moitzi Shemra should be a yichiyach, because Moitzi Shemra does not have this chumrah of getting malchus even though there's no hasra, and even so it gets malchus. So clearly the siba for the chi of malchus is simply the lav. It's not the lav of the with a chumrah of ein tzarech hasra, it's just the lav. Because Moitzi Shemra gets malchus even though it does not have the chumrah of ein tzarech hasra. Azoy is the Gemara, and it sounds very good at first. The Gemara then says, wait a second, maybe Moitzi Shemra and Edim Zoymimin both share something in common, which is the goyrim, which is the siba of their malchus. Namely, they share in common a tzad chamur. They both have a chumrah. They both have a chumrah. There's nothing that the two chumras share in common other than the fact that they are chumras. But nevertheless, we see that the Torah was machmir both on Moitzi Shemra and on Edim Zoymimin. So we can't learn out from there to all other lavim where there's no evidence that the Torah was machmir on them. Because maybe it's the fact that the Torah was machmir by Moitzi Shemra and Edim Zoymimin, which is a siba for their malchus, but all other lavim she'in bohem ma'isa, where the Torah was not necessarily machmir, should not get malchus. This is the kasha that the Gemara asks. And the Rishonim will jump on the Gemara and say, what are you talking about? L'cha'ayra, if this tzad chamur is a valid pircha on a tzad hashaveh, there is no tzad hashaveh which would survive. There's no tzad hashaveh where there is no such pircha of a tzad chamur. Because the whole yisoid of a tzad hashaveh is based on saying that there is a shared characteristic, and then in two cases, there are two independent confounding variables. In our case, it happened to be Loike Umishalim and Ein Tzarech Hasra. And if you're able to lump together any two confounding variables and say they're a Tzad Chamur, because that's essentially what Tzar Chomer means? It means that there's some confounding variable which in each case could possibly be the alternate Siba for the Chi of Malkus other than the Lav. There's a confounding variable. There's a Tzar Chomer, either Loike Umishalim or Ein Tzarech Hasra. So that would destroy every Tzar HaShaveh because every Tzar HaShaveh is simply based on rejecting the confounding variables because they have nothing in common, and instead claiming that the Siba of the Malkus, or whatever we're trying to learn out, is what's shared in common between the cases. But if you can make an artificial connection between the two confounding variables and simply call them Tzad Chamur, there's in each of these cases, there's a different possibility, which is the Siba of the Malkus. So then you can do that by every Tzad HaShaveh. You can say that the two things, which are the confounding variables, in each case, there's something else which could be the Siba for the Malkus. And it doesn't have to be what they share in common. So it's a Tamua Davar. So there's four different Mahalachim and Mishonim, at least, to answer this Kasha. Let's see, one Mahalach is as follows. Tosfos says that you have to understand that Chazal knew that there were different levels of Chumrah when it comes to confounding variables. There are some confounding variables which are very, very Chamur, and there are others which are not so Chamur. So when we talk about a confounding variable, the only thing that can really bind together, artificially or not, two disparate confounding variables and to make them into a common denominator is extreme stringency, not just regular stringency, but extreme stringency. In this case, Chazal had an umdana, and you have to know in general that when we talk about making an umdana, making an evaluation or an assertion about what is considered kal, what's considered lenient, and what's considered stringent on the other hand, when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midoy Shatari Nedreshes Ben, when it comes to the field of hermeneutics, it's very difficult. I have not yet found any methodical system which can serve to predict what Chazal will treat as a Chumrah and what Chazal will treat as a Kula. What I found in Yishonim already, I don't remember where right now, is that Chazal had an intuitive sense based on their hishtakos, the fact that they immerse themselves in the quest for Ratzon Hashem, and based on the fact that they have a Messiah from their rebellion going all the way back to Har Sinai, those two factors give them an intuitive sense of how to establish a hierarchy amongst characteristics of cases and halachos of cases, so that we can establish that certain cases, certain areas, and certain halachos are considered chumras and that others are considered kulas. Can we do it? Well, for sure we can't do it if we don't have a Messiah from our Rebbeim. For sure we can't do it if we don't spend our lives immersed in the pursuit of what is Ratzon Hashem. But even if we have both of those things, even if we sit at the feet of our Rebbeim for 40 years, and even if we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, immersed in the pursuit and the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, even so, it could be that we're just so far away from the tekufa of Har Sinai and from the tekufa of Chazal that we cannot rely on our intuition in terms of being magdir things as kula and chumrah. Maybe why we don't make kal v'chomers nowadays when it comes to dvar ma'im din beru ma'ishal oilam. One way or another, Chazal for sure had this intuition because they had the Messiah and they were close to Har Sinai and they immersed themselves all the time in the pursuit and fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. So this is Chazal had such an understanding, an intuitive understanding of what's considered a kula, what's considered a chumrah, and what's considered a major chumrah. As Zoyzok Tosfos. And Tosfos says a regular chumrah, right, is still a confounding variable. But if two things are extreme chumras, the fact that they're both extreme chumras is something which binds them together to the extent that we can say that maybe the only reason that there's Malkus by Edom Zoymim and Moshi Shemra is because we see that the Torah was extremely machmir on them by saying Ein Tzarech Hasra and Loiku Mishalim. But any place where the Torah was not extremely machmir will not get Malkus. That's Tosfos' answer. And there are three other answers in Mishonim. The Ramban, rather than subscribe to this distinction between chumras and extreme chumras, and rather than be magdir these two characteristics of Ein Tzarech Hasra and of Loiku Mishalim as extreme chumras, the Ramban says something which is a little bit simpler, and he has a diuk from Rashi that supports this. The Ramban says that what we mean by Tzad Chamur is that Moitzi Shemra and Edim Zoymimin are across the board more chamor than any other lav she'in by ma'isa. In other words, ordinarily, when we make a tzad hashaveh, we essentially say, look, there's three cases, and each of them has in some way that it's more chamor than the other two. Each of the three cases, A, B, and C, each has a chumra which is more chamor than the other two. So in that case, you can't say tzad chamor, because they're all shaveh. In that, depending on what perspective you take, you can view each and every case as more chamor than the other two cases. However, when it comes to Edim Zoymimin, and Moitzi Shimra, and all other Lavim She'im Be'em Maisa, such as Noisar, so you'll find, says the Ramban, that Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra both have chumras that the other two do not have, but Noisar and other Lavim She'im Be'em Maisa have no chumras, no relevant chumras that are not possessed by Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra. And that is what gives Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra the edge over the other one. They both have something chamor over the other two, which Noisar and other Lav She'im Be'em Maisa don't have. That's a tzad chamor that you can be parich. But Lu Yitzuyar, we were able to find a relevant chumra by Noisar, which is not possessed by Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra, then you would not be able to say tzad chamor. You would not be able to make that pircha. And so is the Ramban's teretz. The Ritva B'Shem the Ra'ah brings down another teretz, which I want to explain as follows. We see, says the Ritva B'Shem the Ra'ah, that the Torah was machmir on Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra Gufa within the Malkus penalty. The Chumrah relates directly to the Malkus, which may mean that we see that the Torah was very expansive in terms of when they can get Malkus. The Torah was expansive. It says, don't think that the presence of Tashlumi Mamoin is Mafkia the Chi of Malkus by Moitzi Shemra. It's not. You can have Malkus even in the presence of Tashlumi Mamoin. Don't think that the absence of Hasra is Mafkia the Malkus by Edim Zoymimin. I mean, no, you can have Malkus even in the absence of Hasra. We see that the Torah was very, very broad and expansive in terms of applying the Chi of Malkus in these two cases. So unless you have some other area where the Torah was megale, that there's a ratzon to give Malkus in such a broad range of cases, you have to assume that the Torah is not going to give Malkus. There needs to be a giloi from the Torah that if there's another lav she'im by Maisa, there has to be a giloi in that area that there's ratzon at Torah to be very expansive in application of Malkus. And as long as there's no such ratzon, so you cannot learn out Malkus from Moitzi Shemra and Edim Zoymimin, where we see the Torah was very expansive in applying Malkus to other areas where the Torah was not so expansive. That may be the Ritva B'Shem the Ra'ah, that the Chumrah has to be in the Etzem HaDavar that we're trying to learn out. In the Malkus, the Torah was Machmir. And the fourth Teretz that's brought down, also in the Ritva, is that it's Shaykh for Edim Zoymimin also to have Malkus umamim, because if an aide tried to testify that a person was Moitzi Shemra, so then we would say Rasi Sam Lakasha Zama Masis La'achiv. He wanted to make the other guy get Malkus umamim, therefore he himself can get Malkus umamim. So we see that both Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shemra share this characteristic of getting Malkus umamim. Masha'in can other Lavim Masha'in Ben Ma'isa do not have this characteristic of Malkus umamim. They can never be Chayiv Malkus umamim. Moitzi Shimra is always Chayiv in Malkus umamim. Edim Zoymimin can sometimes be Chayiv in Malkus umamim if they're made that the guy is a Moitzi Shimra. But Noisar can never be Chayiv Malkus umamim. So therefore, Edim Zoymimin and Moitzi Shimra, perhaps the confounding variable of the possibility of being Chayiv Malkus umamim is what's the goyim, what's the siba for their Malkus. However, by Noisar, where there is no such possibility of Malkus umamim, so therefore there's no siba for Malkus, and therefore there would be no Malkus. And we can't say simply that the lav shebahen is a siba, because it could be that the lav plus the possibility of Malkus umamim is the siba for their Malkus. That's four different mahalchim about how we can say tzad chamor dafka in this particular tzad hashaveh, where we want to learn out noisar and lavim she'im be'em malkos from Moitzi Shimra and Edim Zoymimin. Masha'inkin, we cannot be parach tzad chamor by all other tzad hashaveh ba'alma.